While a new study out today is encouraging farmers to sow their crops earlier in the year in order to catch more of the ever-diminishing rain, some are advocating a return to unconventional crops. Grains and vegetables native to this country are more adapted to its harsh conditions and long droughts and can survive on less water. With the Murray Darling in collapse and images of dead Menindee Lake fish fresh in people's minds, is it time to turn to Indigenous agriculture? Daniel Butler has the story.
Dark Emu made waves in Australian literary circles when it was published in 2014. It won several awards and near universal praise for its author, Bruce Pascoe. The acclaimed work draws on the extensive diary writings of the first settlers to prove the existence of sophisticated and advanced Indigenous societies at the time of colonisation. Part of that advanced society was a successful agriculture. Indigenous peoples cultivated crops and developed and domesticated seed, enough to sustain sizable populations. They were hardy, adapted to the dry conditions of the land, and required little water. In the age of climate change, with water an ever more scarce resource, Mr. Pascoe believes it is time to return to the Indigenous knowledge and integrate native crops in the modern agricultural market.
In the light of the fact that we're unable to keep water in our rivers because we use so much of it for irrigation, I think it's really important to start looking at Australian crops that don't need as much water, they don't need any fertiliser, they don't need any pesticide, and they don't need any ploughing.
Warragul greens are an Australian native succulent, similar to spinach. It grows on the beach in conditions far too saline for most plants. It's just one example of a myriad Australian substitutes for current food sources.
We've got murnong, which is a little tuber, seven times as nutritious as a potato. That's one that we're concentrating on and have been doing trials on for 7 years now. But one of the things that I have been working on with my family and others is the kangaroo grass and panicum. These are perennial grasses that the seed can be converted into flour. The yields are nowhere near as great as wheat or rye, but the flour is superior. It's gluten-free.
Along with lemon myrtle, warragul greens is another Indigenous food source currently finding a place in high-end restaurants. Bruce says he has been surprised by the number of requests for seed and food from farmers and chefs, and says it points to the economic case for Indigenous foods.
I'm getting about three or four emails a day, people asking me for seed, but also bakers and restaurateurs asking me for flour and tubers. And we've done that when we've had the stuff, but we're at the stage now where everything we produce is going back into the ground because we just need more production. But we can sell absolutely everything that we could grow, and people will pay whatever price we have to pay because, you know, it'll start off as a niche, groovy food that all the foodies will want to eat, all the restaurants will want to show how advanced they are in their thinking about Australian food, because this is going to be an Australian cuisine, the first truly Australian cuisine, and restaurateurs are breaking their necks to get at it.
This economic case for Indigenous plants is further supported by the enthusiasm Bruce has seen young Indigenous people show for their heritage, the agriculture of their ancestors.
You know, the young people that we have had involved find real positive energy in doing something that was done by the elders, but which is entirely relevant to today and is actually going to help the rest of Australia.
Though there is a dearth of knowledge regarding native Australian foods now, Bruce sees huge potential in the burgeoning market, economically and ecologically, but also as a form of reconciliation.
You know, Australia's on the brink of a real change in its identity. You know, a real, truly Australian identity as opposed to some hybrid British identity. And I hope people appreciate the fact that in talking about history through food, it's just probably a more productive way of having a conversation than if we're talking about massacres and stolen children.
Author Bruce Pascoe, ending that report by Daniel Butler.